In 2013, Parisa Ahmadi, a brilliant Afghan student, faced a problem familiar to millions of women in her country. She had earned money, but couldn't access it. Like most Afghan women, she lacked a bank account, forced to funnel her earnings through male relatives who controlled her financial life. Then everything shifted. Her employer began paying in Bitcoin, a digital currency requiring nothing more than internet access. No bank approval, no male guardian signature, just a laptop and a connection. With her first Bitcoin payment, Ahmadi purchased her own computer and glimpsed something radical, financial independence. It taught us how to stand on our own feet, she said. This moment captures cryptocurrency's revolutionary promise, not as some abstract technological marvel, but as a tool that fundamentally reshapes who controls money. For centuries, financial middlemen have extracted enormous fees from every transaction, building empires on the friction between sender and receiver. Consider this. In 2013 alone, merchants paid roughly $250 billion in credit card processing fees. That's $250 billion siphoned from the global economy just to move money from point A to point B. When you buy coffee with a credit card, the transaction seems instant, but behind the scenes, seven different entities are involved, beyond you and Starbucks. The process actually takes up to 3 business days and incurs fees of 1 to 3% paid by merchants. International transactions add even more middlemen and can cost 8% or more. Cryptocurrency threatens to eliminate these costly gatekeepers entirely, returning power and profit to ordinary people. Money isn't tangible value. It's a collective agreement. On the Micronesian island of Yap, people used massive stone wheels called fei as currency. These stones were too enormous to move, so ownership changed while the wheels stayed put. One fei even sank to the ocean floor, yet continued functioning as currency because the community remembered its existence and accepted its value. This reveals money's essence, a social technology sustained through shared belief. Philosophers debate whether money requires intrinsic value, gold, silver, or simply records credit relationships. This debate now plays out in cryptocurrency circles, with some treating Bitcoin as digital gold to hoard, while others see it as a payment protocol reorganizing trust. The shift from commodity money to abstract value sparked conflict. Kings clipped coins, shaving off precious metal while maintaining face value, writing off royal debts while forcing subjects to pay more for less. This abuse fueled resistance that birthed modern democracy. Today's Bitcoin evangelists echo these historical rebels, seeking to wrest monetary control from governments they view as corrupt. For any currency to function, it must serve 3 purposes: medium of exchange, unit of account, and store of value. Bitcoin excels at transferring value globally in minutes for minimal fees, but its wild price swings undermine the other functions. On Halloween 2008, amid financial collapse, an email appeared on a cryptography mailing list. Someone called Satoshi Nakamoto announced a new electronic cash system that's fully peer-to-peer with no trusted third party. His 9-page white paper described Bitcoin, digital coins exchanged directly between users without banks or central authority. Most cypherpunks were skeptical, having seen similar proposals fail, but Nakamoto had solved what stumped everyone else: the blockchain, a public ledger maintained by thousands of independent computers, each verifying transactions and competing for rewards. In January 2009, Nakamoto mined the Genesis block, containing 50 bitcoins, and a pointed newspaper headline, "Chancellor on brink of second bailout for banks." With Lehman Brothers' collapse exposing how banks gambled with depositors' money, then demanded taxpayer bailouts, Nakamoto offered an alternative, money immune to central bank manipulation. The blockchain solved digital money's core problem, preventing double spending without central authority. Miners compete to solve mathematical puzzles, winners seal blocks and claim rewards. Each block links mathematically to the previous one, creating a tamper-proof chain where altering any data disrupts the entire structure. Nakamoto's greatest creation wasn't the code, it was the community. For decentralized currency to exist, you need believers who maintain and use it. Throughout 2009-2010, hobbyists became nodes and miners. In October 2009, New Liberty Standard established the first exchange rate, 1,309.03 bitcoins per dollar. Then came the transformative moment. On May 21, 2010, programmer Laszlo Hanyex offered 10,000 bitcoins for two pizzas on the Bitcoin forum. A UK user ordered Papa John's pizzas while Hanyex transferred the bitcoins, about $41 worth. By 2014, those bitcoins were worth $5 million, proving Bitcoin could function as real money while creating the community's most famous cautionary tale. The community developed distinct culture, using religious language, true believers spreading the gospel of cryptocurrency. Bitcoin offered financial liberation, power returned from corrupt elites to ordinary people. Nakamoto's mysterious identity strengthened this vision, a visionary who gave humanity a gift, then vanished in December 2010. By 2013, forward-thinking merchants adopted cryptocurrency processors like BitPay and Coinbase. By summer 2014, 67,000 merchants, including Overstock.com, Sacramento Kings, and Dell, accepted Bitcoin. Yet consumer adoption lagged. The biggest obstacle was volatility. During one seven-month period, gas prices in Bitcoin plunged 90%, then jumped 50%, while dollar prices varied just 12%. From September 2013 to March 2014, Bitcoin surged 800% to $1,165.89, then crashed to $344.24 following Mgox's collapse. Bitcoin advocates argue volatility is temporary, a growing pain that will stabilize with adoption. Bitcoin mining transformed from a basement hobby into a billion-dollar industry with razor-thin margins. Technology leaped from ordinary processors to graphics cards to specialized ASIC hardware, roughly 3 million times faster than early miners. This arms race made mining inaccessible without massive capital. The shift began when Laszlo Hanyek discovered GPUs mined 800 times faster than CPUs, prompting early miners like high school student Jason Whelan to abandon the effort after a month due to electricity costs. Giant data farms emerged in locations with cheap electricity and natural cooling: Iceland's geothermal power, Washington's hydropower, Sweden's hydro and nuclear. The computational expansion was staggering. The network grew 845 times in 12 months to June 2014, reaching 88,000 trillion hashes per second, 6,000 times more powerful than the world's top 500 supercomputers combined. Mining concentration raises concerns about 51% attacks, where one entity controls majority hashing power and manipulates the blockchain. By summer 2014, mining pools like ghash.io approached this threshold. Wealth concentration also mirrors traditional finance. As of August 2014, 44% of all bitcoins were held in just 1,528 addresses, creating Bitcoin barons whose influence contradicts cryptocurrency's egalitarian promise. Bitcoin evolved from crypto-anarchist ideals into a financial phenomenon centered in San Francisco. In February 2012, Jared Kenna opened 20 Mission, converting an abandoned hotel into a Bitcoin entrepreneur hub where future industry titans like Brian Armstrong, Fred Ersam, Coinbase founders, and Jed McCaleb, Mt. Gox creator, gathered regularly. Venture capital arrived explosively. Bitcoin investments surged from $2 million 2012 to $88 million 2013 to $113 million in just the first half of 2014. Mark Andreessen became a prominent advocate through Andreessen Horowitz, while 28-year-old Adam Draper pioneered cryptocurrency investment with Boost, an accelerator pivoting exclusively to Bitcoin. Approximately 2.5 billion adults worldwide lack banking access, cryptocurrency's greatest opportunity. After witnessing a refugee mother's plight in Mali, Songi Lee and Jonathan Barbie created 37 Coins, enabling anyone with a basic phone to send money via SMS. The global remittance market totals $500 billion annually, with fees reaching 10 to 20%. For someone earning $50 weekly, saving $5 through reduced fees is transformative. In Argentina, Bitcoin circumvents oppressive capital controls and inflation, offering merchants 40% better rates than official channels, crucial where governments actively prevent citizens from protecting their wealth. Blockchain's potential extends beyond currency into applications that eliminate middlemen. Joseph Gleason created a provably fair betting system using Bitcoin's blockchain for verifiable random numbers, turning a $225 investment into over $7,000 in a week. Rebranded as Satoshi Dice, it eventually captured half of all Bitcoin transactions before selling for $11.5 million, demonstrating blockchain's power for transparent, trustless applications. Mike Hearn envisions autonomous economic agents, like self-owned driverless taxis, managing their own finances through cryptocurrency. Smart contracts, first proposed by Nick Szabo, use blockchain to automate agreements without legal intermediaries. The blockchain 2.0 landscape exploded with projects like Colored Coins, Ripple, and BitShares. Vitalik Buterin created Ethereum as a versatile platform, functioning like Android for cryptocurrency, supporting applications in any programming language and raising $14.5 million through presale. For widespread acceptance, cryptocurrency must overcome negative associations and public skepticism. Security has improved dramatically, and volatility should decline as markets mature. Multiple scenarios will likely play out simultaneously: blockchain operating behind the scenes, multiple cryptocurrencies coexisting, or governments launching digital currencies. Bitcoin's future remains uncertain, likely following an evolutionary process rather than revolution. Whatever becomes of Bitcoin's radical elements, one truth remains: we've glimpsed an alternative to the system that's controlled money for centuries, permanently expanding our conception of what money can be and who gets to control it.